Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Liz Stefanini. In life, some days we are up and some days we are down, and God speaks to us in all those situations. On today's podcast, Senior Pastor Jerry Barber builds on Jonah chapter 2 in this episode called When You're Down.
Ring, ring. Hello, this is Jonah, son of Amittai. I'm not available at the moment, but if you leave a message, I'll get back to you as soon as possible. I'm out of the office on a Mediterranean vacation and frankly don't know when or if I will return. To be honest, I've been kind of down lately, and the weather has been horrible on my vacation. Very stormy. My scuba diving trip didn't turn out as I expected. Too much seaweed to get a good look at anything. One thing about it, though, the marine life here is very large. Well, this podcast today, we're looking at Jonah chapter 2, studying Jonah's life to see what God would say to us and maybe just provide some help and encouragement for us as we go through our week here. And, you know, there are many times in life when we're down. There are many times when different situations bring us down. Sometimes people bring us down, or jobs or struggles or ourselves. Jonah, it was down. He was definitely down. We learned before already in chapter 1 of Jonah is that God had told him to go preach to the Ninevites, to go 550 miles to Nineveh, to preach to a group of people that were enemies of Israel. And he instead tried to go 2,000 miles away, and God ordered this fish to swallow him. And that's how we ended Jonah chapter 1 going into chapter 2. And we learn a lot about God from Jonah chapter 2 when Jonah's down. The first thing is that for believers, God is committed to train us for obedience. Why did God choose to do it this way? I think it gives us a vivid object lesson to Jonah about how empty, ill-advised, foolish, and futile life is apart from God and His will. Here was Jonah, a man, he was a prophet. He spoke for God, he was used by God, but at this stage, he didn't want anything to do with God's plan or God's will for his life. He only wanted his own will, which was to get away from all things and all people spiritual. And so Jonah was miserable, but either he didn't recognize it or didn't want to recognize it, and God, rather than zapping him, shows him how miserable he is, first by nearly drowning, and then by experiencing 3 miserable days inside a fish. God is committed to train us. Second, God is gracious to hear us and respond to our cries of distress. Man, that's good news for you today. If you're down, if you feel like, oh, you've failed people, you failed the Lord, you maybe feel like you failed yourself, call on God. Cry out to Him from the bottom, wherever you are today. And that's what Jonah 2 is. It's interesting. Jonah 1 is really full of activity. Jonah 2 doesn't have a lot of activity. It's Jonah inside the fish, and he's down, and he's. But what does he do? He calls on God. He calls on God, and he not only calls to God, but he looked up to God. You know, he said to God, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. He started out that prayer in verse 2. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Jonah also remembered God. Remembering God is more than just bringing God to your mind. To remember God was the number one responsibility that Israel was given. Moses charged Israel to remember God. And even though Jonah was a prophet, he temporarily didn't remember him until he was almost dead. Remember God in the sense that you surrender to him 100%. To me, one of the most intriguing verses in the entire book of Jonah is verse 8. Verse 8 and 9 form a contrast with each other. Verse 8 says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I verse 9, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. Verse 8 talks about how useless idolatry is. And on the other hand, in verse 9, God does save. And Jonah can say, salvation comes from the Lord. So in this prayer, Jonah's remembering God. He is praising and acknowledging God. And he says, salvation comes from the Lord. I love what John Ortberg says about this. This picture of Jonah, who lived long before Jesus Christ ever lived on this earth. Jesus lived, died, was buried, and rose again. All of that to save people who were separated from God. John Ortberg says, the message of Jonah is a little foretaste of the victory of Jesus, who comes to meet us at the lowest place, telling us that death loses, sin loses, sorrow loses, sadness loses, and joy wins. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O grave, is your sting? God gets the last laugh. That's the story of Jonah. And indeed, God is sovereign in working out his gracious plans. Remember all the instances in Jonah that God, we see God's control. There was the storm, there was the sailors, there was the fish, and now the Lord commands the fish and he puts him out on the shore. What's God working toward? Why is God doing this? Well, remember, Jonah is about God caring about the Ninevites. He wants Jonah to go and preach to the Ninevites. And he also was gracious to Jonah. I mean, Jonah wasn't apparently very grace-oriented. He didn't want to show compassion to these Assyrians. So God let him get down to rock bottom so he could learn how dependent on God's grace he really was. And God is gracious to give this disobedient prophet another lesson about God's grace. So what do we do when we're down? What do we do when we hit rock bottom? I would say when you hit rock bottom, look up to a God of grace. Look up to a God of grace. That's what Jonah does here in Jonah 2. Let me quote Ortberg one last time. He said, why do you think Jonah prayed in the fish? Because he had nothing better to do. Think about it. What else are you going to do while you're in a fish? He had nowhere else to turn. Let me share something humbling. Do you want to know why we often have a hard time praying? It's because we have so many other things to do. We have so many other crutches, so many screens we can turn on, so many noises we can introduce to our lives to avoid having to face what is going on in our minds. We don't pray because we have other things to do. The same was true for Jonah. But God brings Jonah down, down, down to a place of desperation in a fish in the sea. So if you need salvation, call on God. If you need to be forgiven and restored, call on God. If you have a loved one who's wrapped in seaweed, figuratively, call on God. If life has you down for any reason, call on God. In 1971, Carole King wrote an iconic song, You've Got a Friend, and it's probably most known by being performed by James Taylor, right? When you're down and troubled, you need some love and care, nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, summer, spring, or fall, all you have to do is call and I'll be there. Yeah, you got a friend. I can hear you now, just kind of going along with the beat. Yeah, that's a great song on a human plane. And it's great to have friends like that. But the problem is that friends cannot always be there when we need them. And even if they're there, they cannot always provide what we really need. But God can. And I urge you today, when you are down for any reason, to call on his name. When you hit bottom, look up to a God of grace.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out how you can donate to support the podcast.